Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. Keeping Bob Enyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Go to the kgov.com website, click on the store, look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more. Get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. So go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission.
Noah's at it again, that guy. Hey, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There are dog problems on the airlines. Airlines having problems with dogs. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is at it again. They've been tampering with the temperature so that they could support their claim of catastrophic global warming, and this time they're just off the charts with how much they change the raw temperature data. We'll talk about that. Also, so sad, teen suicide is soaring in the U.S. Children and teenagers, they are killing themselves at a rate that's up 70% over the last 10 years. Just devastating. And I'm so encouraged that law enforcement identified the Austin, Texas bomber and that no one else was hurt when they were about to apprehend him, and then he blew himself up. I'm not going to repeat our list of ways that Christians should respond to a crime epidemic, but they're on our website at kgov.com/crime. By the way, our annual winter telethon is still on to the end of the month. We desperately need your help. If you could possibly help, our goal is $50,000, and we've got such a long way to go. So please call us, 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278, or if you can, go to our website, kgov.com, kgov, and click on the store. If you could donate, subscribe, purchase some of our resources, I think you'll love them all. So in Texas law enforcement has pulled out all the stops to identify this murderer. Years ago, I wrote a novel called The First 5 Days, The Rebirth of America, about what a biblical government would do in its first 5 days if it had complete governmental authority. One of the aspects of the novel, when crimes occurred, something called real-time investigation was put into operation, where it didn't have to be a major crime like a terrorist attack or threats of continued bombing. Any crime at any level, if there was a report that a crime had just taken place, a crime was underway, regardless of how insignificant, the police would use all the resources at their disposal to try to catch the criminal. And then the courts, which operate completely differently from the way our courts operate, we base all this on God's criminal justice system. The courts then would handle the case almost immediately, if possible, and then render a judgment and a punishment, and the punishment would be imposed swiftly. And a crime epidemic could end literally overnight. It literally could end overnight. This novel, we don't talk about it much. We don't promote it much. It's available on our store, kgov.com. You click on the store at the top of the website. I recall I was being interviewed on a New York City radio station, and an angry liberal called in, slamming me, didn't like kgov.com, didn't like shadowgov.com, yet she had just read the first 5 days, and she said, well, it's well written, but it's terrible. And so I appreciated that compliment. Those who have read it describe it as, well, you'll have to talk to them. Just wonderful comments from the folks who have read the first 5 days. So thank you guys for all that encouragement. So this murderer in Texas, this Austin bomber, if you think about his motivations, we'll find out already a little bit is known about his past. Sadly, you know, the media is ecstatic if they could find some kind of a conservative statement from the guy back when he was 15 or 16 years old. So not much is known about him yet, but whatever we find out about him, our list of the ways that Christians should respond to a crime epidemic is so significant. It's well thought out over a period of almost 30 years. It's a concise list. Here are all the things that we should do. Here are the things that we should advocate. Here are the public policy positions that we should attempt to have our government enact. One of the items is a recognition of the obsession with personal vengeance in our culture. And it fills the vengeance vacuum because so many Christians have undermined God's purpose for government to exact vengeance. And so there is no swift death penalty. There's no painful death penalty in America. And partly as a result of that, there is an explosion of personal vengeance. It's ubiquitous in films, television, video games, novels, and from mean girls in high school to road rage to the rottenness of people online to all-out murderous violence, school shootings, personal revenge could be its own genre. So we should recognize that and guard ourselves from it and help other people not succumb to the constant emphasis on personal vengeance, because for some people, then they act out in these kinds of ways. Now, terrorism, if this were terrorism, terrorism is crime committed by individuals or private groups in order to affect public policy. So this could have been terrorism. Normally, the terrorist lets people know what the motivation is and what the goal of the crime is. Okay, so dogs on airlines. And I thought really they had accepted male flight attendants. I don't know why now there's all these headlines, the problems with dogs on the airline. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they mean actual dogs. They don't mean male homosexual flight attendants. They're talking about actual dogs. Okay, in the Bible, when it talks about a dog, sometimes it's referring to a homosexual. You know that, right? Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice, raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. So God says in the book of Deuteronomy, one of Jesus' favorite Bible books of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18, written by Moses, Jesus attributed the first 5 books of the Bible to the authorship of Moses as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this reads, "You shall not bring the wages of a harlot to the house of the Lord your God." Do you know what that means? If there's a prostitute making money, don't use that money to give it to church. That's what that means. And hey, we remember in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Methodist Church, they had a temple harlot right there working to bring in revenue for the church. It was the pastor's daughter. They had a parsonage that was empty, and the church needed revenue. So the pastor offered to rent the parsonage to his daughter and her boyfriend. So imagine having such a low opinion of your own daughter that you would rent her out like that, like a temple harlot, to get money for the church. They're not married. They're shacking up. And the church is property. It's just so horrific. And so you think that daughter would be thankful to her father for giving her that rental opportunity? No, she hated her father for it. He expected nothing more from her, and that's what he got. And they trashed the place, pizza on the carpet, the whole, they never paid the rent, not one time, stayed there a few months and left it locked and exited through a window. I mean, just when you treat people like animals, often they act like animals, often. So this verse in Deuteronomy 23, you shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God. That price of a dog, that's referring to a homosexual prostitute. So, the price of a dog. Oh, but wait a minute. That has nothing to do with the airlines. They have hired an inordinate number of male flight attendants. But that has nothing to do with these headlines, these problems that the airlines are having with dogs. United, they suspended their pet cargo after they've had so many deaths of animals. They forced one dog owner to put the dog in the overhead compartment. Do you remember that? Just a week ago, that dog died. Delta has just sent one dog to multiple wrong cities. I said that last time I checked in to go to Philadelphia, not too many weeks ago. I asked, can I go to Philadelphia and you send my luggage to New York? And the clerk's like, no, we can't do that. And I said, why not? You did that last week. Why can't you? Anyway, and speaking of dogs, I'd like to share something with you that happened before I started on the radio here in the Denver area. This was July 4th, and it might have been the year 1989 or 1990. We were at my pastor's home for a church picnic. He had a big trampoline in his backyard, and it was dug into a hole, so the trampoline was level with the lawn. Just fabulous. And there had to be about 80 of us there or so. And there were other barbecues on his block, and there were tons of kids, and the kids all seemed to have found themselves, and they were playing in the street on the block. Cool. Well, across the street from my pastor's home, there were renters had lived there, and on the side of their house, they had built a cage for their two pit bulls. These pit bulls were, for some reason, enraged, and they were fighting, and they were biting the walls of their cage like a chain link fence. I think that's what it was made out of. And the fence was almost coming down, but they were also attacking each other, and the one pit bull was bloodied and looked like it could die. So I call the police. I call the police, and they tell me, this is the Commerce City Police, they tell me that it's a holiday, you call animal control. They were not interested. So I call animal control. They say it's a holiday. They're not interested. Okay, so one pit bull is killing another pit bull, and now the one is pretty much knocking down the side of his cage. And finally, he gets out and the other is lying there to die. So this one insane pit bull is out and on the street playing. There's got to be more than 50 kids. There's got to be. And here's this pit bull with blood all over him. And he's walking along and, you know, leering at these kids. I'm not very good with dogs. I've been bit three times in my life, each time by a German Shepherd. So I call the police again, and I say, I just want to let you know the pit bull is, the one looks like it's dying. The other got out, and it looks like he's stalking the kids. And they said, look, call animal control. So I said, I did, but they said it's a holiday. They said, call animal control. They hung up. The police hung up. So, okay, the police hung up. So now the landlord, the owner of the home, shows up. He got a call. His renters are not there. And he rushes there, flies down the street in his vehicle, jumps out with a gun. He's worried that the dog is going to attack one of the kids and maybe he'll get sued. So I'm thinking, what do? The police don't care. Animal control doesn't care. So I called KOA Radio and I called Channel 4 News. You know, I've been involved as a spokesman with the media for a long time. So I called and they were both interested. They both said they're sending reporters. It's July 4th. It's a slow news day. So now the owner is telling the kids, everybody stand back. I'm gonna have to shoot this dog. So I figure I'll call the police again. And I called and I said, I just want to give you guys an update. Channel 4 is on their way. KOA News said they're coming. The owner of the home is here. He's got a gun pulled on the dog. And he's trying to shoot the dog in a way that he's not going to shoot one of the kids. So just to let you know, that's what's happening. And that's it. I didn't ask him for help. And that was it. So they said, okay. And we hung up. So maybe 3 minutes later, a cop car comes flying down the street, lights on, screeches his tires. This gal hops out of the cop car and says, who's Bob Enyart? And I said, I am. And she said, you're under arrest. Like, I'm under arrest. My pastor's there, my pastor's wife, all my friends are there. So she handcuffs me, takes my wallet, puts me in the back of the cop car. Like, why in the world am I under arrest? The media gets there. It's all a zoo. Thankfully, they got the dog back and somehow they didn't have to kill the dog. And so pretty much that's the end of the story. But that's one. We have a number of dog stories, including the three times I was bit by German shepherds. But back to today's news and the airlines. I'm sure they'll figure out their dog problems. Then we have the devastation of teen suicide in America, and it truly is horrific. Suicide is something that our culture is obsessed with. If you recall, the Nazis, during World War II, they produced a full-length feature film called I Accuse, and in this film, a doctor's wife is dying of an incurable disease. And he loves her so much that he eventually kills her. And that's the film. So the whole world is attacking the Nazis. And they take their resources and make this film. And it premieres in Rome and Berlin. And because they're so concerned about compassion and about love, right? That's what they're concerned about. Suicide is inherently destabilizing. Like with 9/11. And the suicide bombers, the attack on America. When you remove the intense social stigma against suicide that's natural, then many people more readily include suicide among their options, among the way that they could achieve their goals, including teenagers. So you have the suicide of young people in America up by about 70% over the last 10 years, patients seen at pediatric hospitals for risk of suicide, that has more than doubled since 2008. And you have the media, our universities, many of our political leaders, all as suicide advocates, physician-assisted suicide, and so on. And interestingly, typically, the secular groups that oppose the death penalty for the guilty, they advocate killing the innocent. It's just the way it goes. Whether the unborn or the infirm, the depressed, liberals generally, in fact, support protecting the guilty and killing the innocent. So when you have suicide in your list of options, readily available, right at the top of your thinking, because it's so socially accepted, then you end up with teenagers who are depressed, who kill themselves, murder-suicide criminals, those who attempt suicide by cop, even kamikazes, if you recall, and today's epidemic of Islamic suicide bombers. And you have people like this Austin bomber who may want to harm a certain number of people and think, well, then if something goes wrong with my plans, if they're about ready to capture me, I'll just kill myself. And so we have an epidemic of murder, suicide, and suicide bombings. And if you think about 9/11 and you think about kamikazes and all those who attempt suicide by cop. So suicide is inherently destabilizing. It's promoted by those who do not know right from wrong. It is wrong to kill the innocent. It is wrong to kill someone who has not been convicted of a capital crime. And speaking of those who are infirm, those who are ill, of course, it's not wrong to die. Of course not. But it is wrong to kill someone. And as I stated, the National Socialists, these are the Nazis. They produced this film. It was an award-winning film, I Accuse. And they do this to show how loving they are, how thoughtful they are about people who suffer. No. The more wicked someone is, the more compassionate that they can make euthanasia appear in suicide. So every person who advocates the normalization of suicide bears in the responsibility of the harm that comes from suicide. So then Noah's acting up again, and no, it's not the guy who built the ark and survived the global flood with his family. This is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, part of the U.S. federal government. They have been tampering with the temperature records for many years now, since the whole global warming hype. What they do systematically is they take the temperatures from the early decades of the 1900s and they lower those temperatures. And they take the temperatures since 2000 or so, and they increase those temperatures. And so then when researchers, when they look at the temperature data, and NOAA, the U.S. government, has more temperature data than any other source in the world, I believe, at least for a landmass the size of our country, also for the oceans and so on. When researchers look at the data, they say, look at the increase. Look at the increase. But the data has been fudged by NOAA systematically. Now, is there ever a valid reason to change the data from a thermometer? Is there ever a valid reason? Well, yes, there is. If, for example, your weather collection center was in a rural area, but then the neighboring city has grown up, and so now that weather collection center, it's still in the same place, but it now is part of an urban city. And cities are like heat islands. They absorb the energy of the sun during the day into their roads and their brick buildings and the sidewalks. They absorb that energy during the day, and they give it off. They radiate it at night. And so cities are warmer than the less developed land around them. And so there's nothing inherently wrong with recognizing that and then adjusting. Of course, you've got to be incredibly careful, and you got to let everybody know what you're doing. And thankfully, with NOAA, the raw data is available. It's always been available. So here's what they've done. The thermometers in the areas that now have become part of the local heat island, they still adjust the temperatures from those thermometers. Only you know what they do with them? They adjust them up. They make it even hotter. So they systematically make the early decades of the U.S. of this last century cooler, and they increase significantly the warming. So I'm at a report just out at realclimatescience.com. The headline, NOAA data tampering approaching 2.5 degrees. And they have a chart of this, and it's just stunning. You see the measured temperatures since the 1890s. So this chart, it has, here's what was measured, and here's how it's been adjusted. And I'm turning my computer screen around so that my board operator can see the difference. The red is the adjusted. See the global warming through the 1900s? And the blue is the actual temperature data. So the actual temperature data shows fluctuation, shows the temperature was a lot higher back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, a lot higher than how it's been adjusted. And now they've attempted to fabricate their own hockey stick graph, and now it's been almost nothing but a steady increase since 1980. Little dips, but a steady increase, whereas in reality, it's lower than it was back in the 30s. And it's about where it was, a little lower from where it was at in the mid-40s. And it's significantly lower than where it was in the late 90s. So let me read some of this to you from realclimatescience.com. And on our website, we have this powerful tour de force refuting the global warming hype, the climate change hype. It's at kgov.com/warming. And likely now we will link from there to this article in that section of the paper where the government has been fudging the data. Well, realclimatescience.com writes that NOAA's U.S. temperature record shows that the U.S. was warmest in the 1930s and has generally cooled as carbon dioxide has increased. This wrecks the greenhouse gas theory, so they adjust the data to make it look like the U.S. is warming. What a great point, right? If it was warmest back in the 1930s over a period of years, well then, how could it be a result of industrialization and greenhouse gases? How could that be? The NOAA data tampering produces a spectacular hockey stick of scientific fraud, which becomes the basis of vast amounts of downstream junk climate science. So junk climate science, and this is downstream junk climate science, downstream because so many researchers, actually thousands, are taking the data from NOAA as they've adjusted it, and they use it then to talk to the media, to do interviews, to write articles, write books, write to the New York Times and the Washington Post, which they'll be thrilled to publish their hysterical fear-mongering. And much of it is based on this tampered data. So realclimatescience.com continues, pre-2000 temperatures are progressively cooled and post-2000 temperatures are warmed. This year has been a particularly spectacular episode of data tampering by NOAA as they introduced nearly 2.5 degrees of fake warming since 1895. You'll recall what God said in the Bible about climate. Did God ever address climate in the Bible? Well, in a way, right? When he talked about winter and summer. And it's like God said to Noah in the book of Genesis chapter 8 at the end of the global flood. The Lord said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So are there variations in the climate? Yeah, there was an ice age. In the centuries after the global flood, there was a terrible ice age. That ended, thankfully. We're glad that the earth heated up a bit, and it's been cooling and heating ever since. We are out of time. Our telethon, we need your help to stay on the air. Please reach out to us if you can, kgov.com. May God bless you.